Welcome
to episode number 397 of Doctor Who Time and Space, a weekly Doctor Who podcast starring me, Lewis Moon.
And me, Father Cool.
Yeah. Father Cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? We should add jingle bells to this theme tune next
week. We should do, shouldn't we?
We should. Yeah. Yes, because we are drawing ever close to Christmas. Have you on here today?
Yeah.
It's episode 397. As I said, what are we reviewing this week?
Well, what day of Advent are we?
We are on day 12 when we are recording
of Advent. So what do we have on this week's show? We will be doing the first of a series of reviews of Christmas specials. And when I say a series of them, it's a bit of two. This one and one next week, which wraps up all of our new Who viewings of things that are currently out, and wraps up all of the Christmas specials too. This week's is The Doctor, The Widow and The Wardrobe.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And aside from that?
Yeah, aside from that, we are going to be taking a look back at the William Hartnell era of the show. We reached the end of our first Doctor era reviews, and we are going to be giving our verdict on that. Our two favourite stories, our two least favourite stories from that era, and rounding it up, maybe going through giving hit and miss on a number of stories, saying whether we like them or not.
Yeah.
That should be rather interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, apart from next week, every week at the moment seems to be the end of a Doctor era for our viewers.
Yes.
Because of the where we are at in terms of our show. So,
certainly.
Yeah. So, before we kick off with those two pieces, do we have any news to report this week?
Well, we do, sort of. Not a great amount of news, but we've of course got. Yeah, it's very hot in here.
I'm just trying to cool it down.
I'm sort of boiling now. I mean, you've got a big Christmas jumper on. I've got a normal jumper on.
Hopefully, that's turned it down a bit, but it'll take a while. We'll have probably melted by the end of the show.
So we've had a few filming pictures come out for series 13. They've started filming that. We saw Jodie and Mandeep on set for the first time. So. It's definite that Jodie's coming back, despite what you said about her regenerating in the special.
Might just be a front.
Yeah, but with COVID-19, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're in a support bubble, so they'll be interacting, whereas I don't know what's going to go on overall. But so we have some filming pictures. First of all, we saw a sort of look at the Sontarans at filming. There were sort of glimpses of them a few weeks ago, but they're Sontaran.
It
sort of disappoints me in some ways that they've let this slip, because this era has been so good at keeping things secret that unless this is revealed before the episode comes out, it feels strange that they've let it slip, because you'd think they'd be more secretive with big things like this.
Maybe they're just conscious of the fact they need to do something to make people interested again.
But
because it's been such a long time, isn't it? You know, it doesn't really feel like there's a huge buzz about Doctor Who anymore.
But who's going to care about the Sontarans coming back apart from people who already watch it?
Yeah, I don't know. I've still got my mask on. Let's take that off.
Yeah, I'm disappointed if that's the case, because pretty much the only thing I like on a storytelling perspective this era is the secrecy.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've had a few surprises. Series 12, the best moments were probably those that were kept secret from us, because they created a buzz, they created a sense of excitement again, whereas the Moffat era gave everything away, and it disappointed us, because it didn't feel, sometimes it felt like you weren't watching it for anything, because it had all been done before.
The best example of that is the handling of the Master in the last two appearances. So, well, I say as in sort of reappearances, I should say. So, the fact that they managed to Chibnall managed to keep it pretty secret.
Yeah.
Pretty much secret. Yeah. There was a few.
To the fact that he, Sacha Dhawan, is in the promo pictures, but he's been like he's right in the background, and in the trailers he's been edited into quite painstaking detail.
Okay. And then whereas, you know, you think about what would have been a fantastic introduction of John Sim for the finale of the last Capaldi series, and instead they blew it all out of the water by telling you, and that was criminal.
Yeah, it was.
I think
Moffat basically just went press.
I don't know whether it was Moffat or whether it was the BBC, to be honest.
No, it was Moffat. He said to the press...
Yeah.
Moffat did say this, so he was involved in it anyway, but he said, don't tell anyone about this, but if you want to, stay watching this trailer. Yeah, yeah. The press aren't going to keep that secret.
Nah, that's right.
That was the most stupid thing ever. And that's what... World Enough and Time, I really love it. I think it's one of the best Moffat-era stories.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would have been even better if you didn't know those twists were coming.
Yeah, it would have been mind-blowing, wouldn't it? And it would have been interesting. Would people have even realised that it was the Master? I was thinking, what was the episode? There was an episode of... I know, it was the Peter Davison one we watched the other week.
King's Demons.
Yeah. When there was a really great Master reveal.
Yeah.
In that one.
Yeah.
Where he was disguised, wasn't he?
Yeah.
As the and it wasn't a particularly obvious disguise.
The Peter Davison era disguises were the best, I think. Yeah.
So, you know, that sort of thing is what we, you know, they probably could have done that, because the John Sim, it was obvious that that was the Master when we watched it, because we knew the Master was going to be in it, and you could see that it looked vaguely like John Sim.
Mm.
Whereas if you didn't know, it would have been really great.
It would have been great. Whereas with the Chibnall era, when we saw Dhawan come into it, it was a huge shock, a huge excitement for a lot of people. For me, I knew that Sacha... I'd heard the rumours that Sacha was going to be as the Master. So when Sacha popped up for the first time, it was a huge exciting moment, whereas for everyone else, it was when it was actually revealed.
Yeah.
So it was a few minutes earlier for me, but I still got that equal amount of excitement and surprise, because I didn't think that rumour would be true. So it was really nice, and also things like the Ruth doll. There were big moments that everyone got excited about and everyone was speculating about.
Yeah.
And if you just give those away, that gives away the one thing about this era that's better than the other two eras.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And Revolution of the Daleks is where a prime example of that, because unless they're keeping something huge from us, it feels like they've already revealed a lot of the things.
Yeah.
Like Graham and Ryan leaving, and Captain Jack returning, and you know, lots of other things. It feels like they've revealed more than they need to, and it feels like we're just going back to the Moffat era. It doesn't create buzz. It just ruins the one thing that creates the buzz.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. And to be honest, that is one thing, and he did do it very, very well, didn't he? But aside from that, obviously we hate Chibnall.
Yeah. Oh, we don't hate him as a person.
I do.
I've never met him as... I've never met him, but I'm sure he's okay. Also, the there was a bit of speculation online, because we saw sort of pictures appear of weeping angels sort of on streets and stuff. Teased to be part of Doctor Who. We do not know whether this is part of a game that's coming out called The Lonely Assassins, or whether this is part of Series 13. And it's strange, because either way it seems weird, because Lonely Assassins, I'm sure, has recorded everything already. It's ready to go, apparently.
This is a trailer. Whereas, for it. Might be advert.
Might be. Whereas Series 13, it doesn't really match up if they're filming the Sartaran story. However, there have been...
I'm sorry, I've got a theory there.
What?
Let's face it, we know damn well that, since we've just talked about one of the great things about Chibnall, one of the downsides of Chibnall is that he'll always put about 700 more things in an episode than he needs to. So maybe it'll be the Sontarans, Weeping Angels, Daleks, Cybermen.
I mean, there's
there was
a theory from some people that said that the story arc of the next series might be that the Doctor managed to escape from the prison, but inadvertently releases loads of other villains, and she sort of has to go around sort of collecting them or bringing them down again, just so.
You know what? I like that.
I do too.
I like that as a concept.
I hope that is what happens.
Yeah, I actually like that.
If they don't just do old villains, but also throw in some new ones.
Yeah.
I know Chibnall isn't the best with creating villains, but.
No.
Yeah, but if that happens, it could work. Otherwise, I don't know. But there were pumpkins spotted on filming, which means that seems like the series could begin on Halloween. Halloween's on a Sunday next year, so it seems like the release date for the premiere will be 31st of October.
I can't remember now. The last series, was it on Sunday still?
Yeah.
Was it? I can't remember if they'd moved it back to
Saturday. It would be on a Sunday, I reckon.
I think so, yeah.
Because more people... First of all, Chibs isn't going to learn from that if he didn't learn last time. But also because... I think Sunday is when more people are in. I think it does work better for dramas.
Yeah.
I don't think New Year's Day works better. I think that's a terrible change. But the Saturday to Sunday thing, I get that.
Yeah.
I do get it. I know some people are annoyed about it because it breaks tradition. But and I'm a very traditional person, as you know. But
yeah, but...
I don't mind it.
Yeah, to be honest, they've changed tradition a few times, haven't they? It's not always been on a Saturday.
No.
Let's face it.
It used to be on a Monday and Tuesday one point, and I don't want that.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter. I don't even think that matters, you know? I watch Walking Dead on a Monday.
Yeah, I know, but there's something about Doctor Who where it feels like it's a weekend thing. It doesn't feel right on a weekday.
Yeah, humbug.
It won't. It feels like, oh.
Doesn't make any difference.
Bloody hell. Got a normal day? Actually, wait, that's what Sunday is. Doesn't matter. Ignore me. It just doesn't feel right. But a Sunday is when you draw in most of the audience, I think. That's the day of the week where...
Bore in most of the audience. Yeah.
I'm not saying Doctor Who draws in most of the audience, but it's the day where things draw in most of the audience. Yeah. Look at the Bodyguard, like, really high viewing figures.
Game of Thrones aired on a Monday, and that had more.
But that's not in the UK. That's not on the BBC.
No.
And it's must-watch. Like, it's like a really huge thing, whereas Doctor Who isn't.
Yeah, but it could be.
It could be. It was. Not as much. Not as big as Game of Thrones, but it was a... On a British scale, it was at one point.
Could be worse. It could get bought up by Disney, and then with spin-off series about the Pating and things like that, so...
What would be the most obscure spin-off series that you'd want to see?
Probably something like that. The guy from Dalek, I'm not sure if it's Dalek. The one where he gets a thing coming out of his head. He's like a companion just for like two episodes. I think he comes in the Dalek and then he's...
Oh, yeah. Adam. Well, they're not going to get him because Bruno Langley's like I don't know what he is.
Yeah.
It's
not
good.
Disney, true. anything else to report on news, or should we crack on with our main items?
What do you think? Do you think the Weeping Angels will be in it? Do you think they'll be coming back?
I've got a feeling it's probably more likely to be a trailer for whatever the game is.
I think so too, but it would be... If the time, but you said to me on a voice call the other day that they're a very limited villain, aren't they?
Yeah.
In some ways.
I've struggled to see how you could do a huge amount more with them as a main villain for an episode. I think Moffat... Obviously, Moffat created them. Moffat, you very creatively.
Apart from in Time of the Doctor, where they just randomly pop up.
Yeah, that's right. But generally...
And Hellbent. Hellbent, they randomly pop up as well.
But, yeah, I personally think they've had their time.
Yeah.
But there we
have it. Well, let's moan some more about Doctor Who now, because that's what this podcast is, basically. We never really say nice things anymore. But let's see about the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. Right, God, it's warm in here.
It is sweltering.
It is sweltering. And I know you can't feel that right now, because it's the middle of winter, and you're probably freezing your bum off, but it's, let's stop with the talk about bums and freezing and warmth, and let's go on to something else freezing, Christmas snow, because it's the start of our Christmas special reviews, and we are going to be discussing Doctor the Widow and the Wardrobe. That was a terrible tangent. I didn't intend it to be a tangent, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Go on, give us a synopsis.
I was just getting confused because I was reading something in the synopsis on Wikipedia, and it talked about a prequel.
I believe there was.
Yeah.
About the Doctor and the spacecraft.
An online prequel, yeah. Yeah,
they did those a lot in that era, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite. I don't recall it, so I don't think
I don't think you watched most of them, to be honest. Yeah.
So, anyway, going back to this one, it's Christmas. Year is 1941. And the Doctor, having fallen from a spacecraft and plummeting to Earth wearing a back-to-front spacesuit, he gets found by a lady called Marge Arwell. Various stuff happens and she helps him out. And he promises to, if she ever needs anything in return, just to make a wish and he will come back. We then find ourselves... Madge's the war has started and Madge is taking her children away for Christmas Day. She's recently lost her husband. The kids don't know about it yet. And they go to this old manor house, and in there is the Doctor. She doesn't recognise him because obviously he's when she met him last time he had a back-to-front space helmet on. But he's pretending to be the caretaker of this place. So the Doctor has spruced up the place to make it really exciting for the kids. And he's included there a big, huge, glowing present that one of the kids, Cyril, sneaks down in the middle of the night to see what it is. It's been bothering him. He opens it up. It is none other than a time portal, which takes him to a snow-covered forest. And this was meant to be a big surprise from the Doctor for the kids, but Cyril's obviously sort of ruined that surprise by opening it early. The Doctor realises that he's got in there and goes in to try and find Cyril, together with Cyril's sister, whose name was possibly Lily, I think, from memory. They follow these tracks of footprints that grow larger and larger, which came from this bauble that Cyril had plucked off of a tree and came to life. Cyril, in the meantime, has followed the footsteps all the way to this large tower. He goes in, there's this big, huge wooden giant in there. In the meantime, the mum, whose name I forgot, I think it was Madge, realises the children are gone, sees this gaping portal and climbs in. Finds herself in the very same snow world that the kids and the Doctor are in, and goes hunting desperately for her children. She bumps into a number of spacemen, one of which is Bill Bailey, and gets told that the planet is about to have all of the forestry burnt by acid rain as part of Androzoni's fuel collection. So she gets into a bit of a panic, thinking that the kids are going to get melted. In the meantime, the Doctor and Lily find Cecil. He's got golden crown placed around his head, and it's basically nature's way of trying to use life to capture all of the spirits from the tree. But it doesn't really want Cyril or Cecil or whatever his name is, Cyril. It actually wants Madge as the mother to actually deliver. So one thing or another happens. Eventually, Madge turns up to rescue her children. The tree spirits, as the rain starts falling, enter Madge as the mother spacecraft is dead. They all take off into space. The trees are, the spirits of the trees are distributed across the universe, and thankfully they manage to change time by the light of the craft, saving Madge's husband, and they all live happily ever after.
Mm.
Then, right at the end of the story, Madge manages to persuade the Doctor to go and visit Amy and Rory, who the Doctor believes thinks he's still dead, and he turns up on their doorsteps, and there's some good fun banter.
Yeah.
That, my dear boy, is Father Cool's synopsis.
Father Cool. Right. Thank you, Father Cool.
What do you think of this one? I mean, it seems to be a much derided Christmas episode in the Who fan base, which I'm not sure I really understand.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't think it's great, but it's fine. It's serviceable, I think. I don't really get why people hate it as much as they do, because it's got a really bad reputation, and I've never really understood it. I can understand people saying it's average or bad or whatever, but because I say it's sort of average, it's mediocre, but. People saying it's one of the worst stories ever. I've never really understood it. I've never really understood a valid reason for it. I guess it's probably because it's very unlike any other Doctor Who story. It's got more of a fairy tale sort of feel to it than a lot of others. But
to me, that's one of the strengths of it.
But let's
explore this further, and let's do that by for one of the last few times ever. We're approaching, what would it be? The last one, two, three. Is this the fifth and last?
We're nearing the end, I think we'll have a few more. Yeah. We've got a few more shows.
But I think this might be the fifth and last bit of the show that we like to call
Too Good, Too Bad!
Too Good, Too Bad, when we contemplate two good things on any given subject, in this instance, the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
And two bad things on any given subject, in this instance, the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
Because some things are too good.
And some things are too bad.
So basically, we both think of a good thing, we both think of a bad thing, making two good things, two bad things, or as the bit of the show is called, too good, too bad.
Yeah.
So you usually go first on this one. What do you think is the good here? What's the real standout?
Dear Cool.
Father Cool to you.
Yeah, I know it's one we often go for with sort of doctors of the episodes, but I've got to go for Matt Smith here. He's joyous, I think, and he's the best part about it. He just really works with the sort of light-hearted stuff. You know, he always gives it his all with his performance. He's got such a charm and a wit to him. I really like him. Sort of just like a childish warmth about him, and it's very nice.
Yeah, I probably agree that is the strongest thing. I think Matt Smith works at his best in the more light-hearted episodes because he does bring a certain childish charm to it, and he works really good in the Christmas specials, actually.
Yeah.
Just because he is very jovial.
Yeah.
He's difficult to take too seriously, I think. He can do the serious stuff, but he does, to me, work far better light.
Yeah.
Far better light. So I would, that would be my first choice as well, actually.
Okay.
I had two other thoughts, but obviously I can only share one as my good, so I'll probably come back to the other one later, but I think the very end sequence when the Doctor goes to Amy and Rory's house and Amy opens the door and she's squirting him in the face with the water pistol and stuff and really peeved off because he's kept his being alive secret. And that you realise that they actually knew anyway because River Song had told them. I just think that's a really, really charming sequence, and the fact that when the Doctor goes into the house and he's got like a little tear, and it's quite unlike the Doctor to show that level of emotion.
Yeah.
I think that's a really beautiful sequence.
Yeah.
Really beautiful sequence.
I wonder how many times... that is a lovely sequence, I agree. I wonder how many times the companions think the Doctor's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
In the show's history. I guess he got another situation like that in Revolution of the Daleks.
Yeah, well, they just sort of. They're unaware of the Doctor is, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. More like where the companions are sort of questioning whether the Doctor is dead.
Yeah. So that'd probably be my good. I have, say, got other thoughts as well, but I'll perhaps come back to that afterwards. Mm. So if we move on instead to the things we don't like about it.
Yeah. I guess it's sweet, but I've always had a problem with sort of the problem of the story being resolved with love.
Yeah.
And the thing about the crown dominated by the love and the female side of things, it just seems a bit stupid to me.
Yeah, and it's something which he uses quite a lot.
Yeah, it's one of Moffat's down points. He's got a lot. I like Moffat. I think he's a good writer. I think he's a decent showrunner, but he has a lot of problems, and that's one of those tropes he does.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm not sure whether I can use this as my bad or not, because it might be too similar to you. My principal bad is that probably the last, up until before you get to the Rory and Amy bit, which I think is lovely, the last quarter of the episode just feels really mawkish.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know whether that's too similar to yours.
No.
I will go for something slightly different, because it does sort of sit on the coattails of yours, certainly. I find this is quite a big
the episode.
No, I find Madge quite irritating.
Yeah.
I just find her a really irritating character. I find her voice really irritating.
Yeah. She does sound like that in real life, to me.
Yeah, fair. No, I know. It's a harsh one.
And I find her rhetoric annoying rather than her sort of her language rather than her rather than her voice.
Well, do you know, because you mentioned Outnumbered, and I've seen that a few times, and actually she works really well in that, I think, and her voice and persona works really well. But I found, for whatever reason, I just found it added to the mawkishness.
Yeah.
So I'll have that as
I don't mind her, but she's just sort of there for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say she's good, I wouldn't say she's bad, she's just sort of there.
Yeah.
But as I say, the way she talks sometimes irritates me.
I mean, if I could sort of expand on the mawkish bit.
Yeah.
As I say, the I'm only really talking the final quarter, not the right very end once they get to the A bit. Up until that point, I actually think this is a really, really good Christmas special.
Okay.
And it's funny, rewatching it again, I was thinking, why do people hate this so much? And then it got to the really the mawkish bit, and then and it made me realise why people hate it.
Yeah, I get it.
Because
sort of.
Up until that point, I think it's actually really magical. I think the whole bit when the Doctor's got the kids, he's taking them around, all this stuff in the house, the humour in it. I mean, something Moffat did really well is sort of little one-liners and things. There's some really funny lines in this.
Mm.
Very funny lines. And he did that really, really well, I think. The other thing I was going to mention as a good, which is my secondary, if I needed it, was I think the tree people, the two tree people, just look great.
Okay.
I mean, it's... It's a relatively minor part in it, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I really like them. I just think they look really cool. They look really magical.
Yeah. I like the look of them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I like them.
Right, okay.
I don't think I do, but I do like the visuals of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other... Okay, let's think about it then. To me, the sequence where Bill Balian can come down... I guess it's important because he's talking about the whole acid rain thing.
Mm.
But...
There's some very forced attempts at humour there, I feel.
Very, very much yeah. so. The guy crying, and I found, annoyed me.
Yeah.
I feel it's a waste of Bill Bailey in the Hooniverse, because I could see him being great in it.
Yeah.
And actually having a really good role.
He could be a recurring role, I think, that he seems so much like he has potential to be in Doctor Who.
Yeah. Well, I said the other day, no, that I'd like to see him as the meddling monk.
Yeah.
That would work for me.
Yeah. I mean, whether you like Matt Lucas or not in Doctor Who, it did feel like... It feels like a similar thing to him where he just seems like he should work in a Doctor Who story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think just... he would be good as the meddling monk. Yeah. And he is wasted here.
Yeah. There's something about that little segment in there which it feels like it's about from there where I start losing interest in the episode a little bit.
Yeah, it just goes a bit dull and a bit. It feels like it's trying to be overly sentimental.
Yeah.
Like it's trying to tug at the heartstrings. It isn't quite reaching it.
No. No, indeed, and I think it's part of the problem when you're doing a 40-minute, 50-minute story or something like that, and then you don't really generally get enough character development to make you really care about a character.
Mm.
It's not like when you're watching a series where... as an example, so there's going to be a spoiler here for The Punisher, but when we're watching The Punisher and you have... I've got the guy's name, but was it Lederman or something like that?
Something like that.
And there's that moment where you think he's died, and I was really angry. Because he'd just grown to really love that guy.
Mm.
And I don't find you ever really get that in Who, probably because you don't really get that sort of time to build.
I feel you have potential with companions and the Doctor, obviously, to get attached to them, but when it's side characters, it's very difficult to get that sort of cathartic release.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's times like Vincent and the Doctor where it draws off sort of things that we know to, bless you, to give us more of an emotional impact.
That's right, actually, because that is a really good example of where it does work, but it's because you know enough about the historical character for that to work. So, any other points you want to raise about this particular episode?
What do you think of the children?
Children are always, whatever the show, problematic, aren't they? Because to be fair, it's very rare to find a child that is fully developed as an actor at that age. But the real exception to that one, there are a number of exceptions. Maisie Williams in Game of Thrones is fantastic right from the start.
And the Five from the Umbrella Academy is very good as well.
Yeah, that's right. But he's a bit older, isn't he? A little older.
True. Is Maisie Williams... I thought she was sort of a teenager, wasn't she?
Not right from the beginning.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some exceptions, but generally... And these aren't a bad example of it. I'd say a bad example of it is Clara's... Think of the kids that Clara's looking after.
Oh, yeah. And also Courtney in the Pic Powdy era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's some really bad ones. But I think these two, they're kids, they're kid actors... But they're all right. They're not too bad. They're not there in the cesspit of kid actors.
Yeah, I forgot about the ones that Clara looks after that go off with her in Nightmare in Silver.
Yeah,
I completely forgot they existed.
Yeah, that's one of the things I hate most about Nightmare in Silver.
I don't really get the point of why they're there, like just as characters.
Yeah,
like they really irritate me. Anyway, They're not terrible, but just they're not great either. That
yeah.
They're sort of middling on a child actor front, but child actors always a difficult thing because they're hardly ever good and they usually ruin whatever.
Yeah.
I hate saying that, but
yeah,
because that's really mean.
So, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, because the most important thing we want to know is the Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe, hit or miss?
Yeah, I've got to say a miss, because it is mediocre. It does have, as you say, a mawkish, overly sentimental conclusion. I think it tries to draw off the success of A Christmas Carol, which does do that, the previous Christmas special, which does do the cathartic elements really well.
Yeah.
And it tries to do that again with like the drawing off literature and with the Doctor You Take and stuff. And it tries to be like that and a lesser version of that. It's got a lot of problems. It's enjoyable, it's entertaining, it's serviceable, and it's fine as a Christmas special. But I have to say it's a miss.
Yeah, it's a miss for me too, really, because of the second half of it. The first half, I think is really great. I find the first half of this a really good, fun, festive episode. But Moffat can do sentimental moments, but I don't think he did here very well.
No, I agree.
There was something about it which just feels a bit fake.
It feels like there's too much of a... Yeah, it feels like it's trying too hard to be...
Mm.
And it's also drawing off people who we don't really care about enough, as you say, to have that emotional impact, really.
Yeah.
It's sweet, per se, but it just feels a bit indulgently sentimental, really.
So I agree. In the great scheme of things, it's not a huge miss, but it probably is a miss.
Yeah. Right. Should we go on to our next sequence?
Yes.
What are we going to be doing now?
So we're now going to be taking a look back at the William Harvey years.
Right. So last week it came to the end of... Do you think it's still hot in here?
It's still hot. It's cooled a bit.
Yeah. Last week,
heat has cooled down, so it's just very hot. So it'll take probably the rest of the day.
It'll take a while, yeah. And then the heater will kick in again, and then it'll just be the same. Anyway, yeah. Last week we came to the end of our Hartnell era reviews. We've been over the last 6 years on the podcast. We have been watching every single Doctor Who episode, New Who classic, and now we are drawing to the close of it. We have watched nearly every episode, or in some cases rewatched them, because most of the stories I've watched at least once, and then some of the stories you've watched once before.
Probably a lot of them I've watched when I was a nipper, to be fair.
Yeah, and now we are here to divulge our thoughts of the Hartnell era, because last week we finished our reviews of that era with the Daleks. And not the creatures, but the story. And we are going to be going into that. So, first of all, what are your general thoughts of the Hartnell era? Is it a hit or a miss? Do you like it?
I don't not like the Hartnell era, and there's a lot that I do like about it. I think it's got one of the finest set of companions in the whole of the... The Who time. I'm thinking about the original TARDIS crew, which is a real great TARDIS crew. I think sometimes the age of it makes it suffer. To me, Doctor Who really kicks off the series with Troughton.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
But there are some really superb moments in Hartnell's. I don't know, it's second tier for me.
And for me it's got a real charm to it, which makes it really sweet, and it makes it endearing.
Yeah.
I think there's a lovely tone and a pace to it. Most of the time. There's also some times where it feels slow, painfully slow and very dull.
Yeah.
Because it was a very different time of television, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Hartnell's great. I think it's got some great companions. It introduces a lot of excellent concepts that we know and love now. And for a show at the time, it was just groundbreaking.
Mm.
It does so much well. There's a few weak things, mostly in pacing and stuff, but I like it.
Just very quickly going back to our previous review in The Doctor, the Wind and the Wardrobe, it's interesting because that actually had quite a few harkbacks, not to the Hartnell era, but to other periods in Who history, didn't it?
The Hartnell back.
Yeah. It went back to Davison's Androzoni. And there was another mention as well, something that you said was End of Time, I can't remember what it was.
No, it wasn't. It was End of the World. They mentioned The Forest of Cheen.
Ah, right, yeah. So, anyway, that was a little bit of an aside. What we tend to do with these roundups of A Doctor's Era is we use that show favourite, the Too Good, Too Bad concept, to discuss our... both of our favourite episodes and both of our least favourite episodes.
So introduce the theme tune.
So, why not? Let's do a little jingle.
Too good, too bad!
Too good, too bad, when we contemplate two good things on any given subject. In this instance, the first Dr. William Hartnell.
And two bad things on any given subject. In this instance, the first Dr. William Hartnell.
Because some things are too good.
And some things are too bad.
So there we go. We've already talked about this already, but basically we're both choosing something good, we're both choosing something bad, but we're looking... episodes rather than moments.
Let's judge his tenure. Remember when we used to do that?
Yeah.
Judge my tenure.
So, would you like to go first? What episode do you think is the standout?
Yeah. You go first. You go first. Because you always struggle more than me in these features.
There's two in particular that really stand out for me, and I'm going to go for... The Time Meddler.
Okay, I could have gone first then. I was going to allow you the number
I think The Time Meddler's great. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's not using the classic TARDIS crew. By this point, we've moved on to Vicky, who I really dislike. And Stephen, who's okay, but he feels like a sort of a worse version of Ian. That's sort of second rate Ian, to be fair. Sorry, Peter, he does.
And Peter's a very nice person. Yeah. I'm sure Maureen O'Brien is a very nice person. I don't mind Vicky.
Yeah. But I think the real great thing about it, I like the sort of setting in the sort of Viking era England, but more than anything, it's the meddling monk. Yeah. It's just a really great character, and it's by no means the best story in this era. But there's just a real charm to it that I like.
Yeah. It's a real example of that pure warmth of the Hartnell era.
Yeah. So that's fine. But I think I can probably predict what yours is going to be, but let's ask you anyway.
The Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Yeah.
A classic. It's great, isn't it? I'm sure we covered this in a Too Good, Too Bad recently as well, and I can't remember which one. But, it's great. It's got some great Dalek content. It's lovely to see London. Great TARDIS team, some really memorable moments. Some good, exciting moments. But also some good sentimental moments, good supportive characters, setting. It's just everything that a Dalek story should be, really. And I think it's great.
I really like the Vibro Men. It's funny actually because
I love the Dalek coming out of the Thames as well.
Yeah, me too. And that's the point I was just about to make. For whatever reason, and this just shows me being hypocritical. In classic Who, I love it when you see landmark places. Mm. In New Who, I always feel that they're only showing these landmark places for a worldwide global audience.
It's done less and it's done more subtly in the classic.
Yeah, era, that's probably what it is. Mm. But I really like it here. The whole bit when they're going over the Westminster Bridge, for instance.
Yeah.
Love that.
Dalek Invasion of Earth, War Machines and the Invasion. They're all great examples of them using these landmarks really well.
Yeah.
And it just feels exciting here, whereas in New Who it doesn't feel as exciting to see these landmarks.
Yeah.
It's not the landmarks that make it a great story, but it's just, it is a great story. Yeah. And it's one of those rare six-parters which sort of withholds itself all the way through.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm. So, moving on to the bad then, do I get to go first for this as well?
Yeah, go on.
So, I think you probably would have said the same one.
Yeah,
here,
I will, but,
The Web Planet.
Yeah, can you move away?
Why?
You're really, you're like...
I'm using less than half of the bed.
Right, yeah. So, basically, I'll explain our arrangement here.
Yeah.
So, we're on a bed here.
Yeah.
Computer
halfway, well, nearer you than me.
So, the cushions are sort of away from us.
Yeah.
You were on a cushion before, and now you've moved over this fold over. So when I lie down, I'm lying down next to your mouth, which means that you breathe on me every time you speak. It's very irritating.
I am using less than half of the space, so I'll move back just for you. So the web planet.
Thank you.
Which is.
thank you.
The web planet is. There's nice things about it. I like the imagery in it. But it is like watching paint dry.
Yeah.
It's really boring. I can't remember how many episodes it is. I'm thinking it's probably six.
Yeah.
And it's five too long.
And it feels like it takes itself too seriously for a story that's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, just the costumes.
I like the costumes, eh?
I know, but the way the monsters move about and the, you know, the way you look is just, it's just embarrassing, really.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. So that's my bad.
Yeah. My bad, and I'm sure Cool will disagree with this, but it's going to be the gunfighters.
That would have been my second worst as well.
Okay. Yeah. I find it really cheesy and boring and dull. I hate the song being played all the way through. It just takes me away from it every time I watch it the two times I've watched it.
Yeah.
Because it's just so irritatingly boring.
It's purely the song for me, to be honest. It's purely the song that makes it that bad.
Yeah. It's just one of those historicals that can't catch me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because it's not like it's an uninteresting period. But.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our two good, two bad. I don't think we'll go through here because there's too many stories to go through.
We went through Davison's last week.
Yeah, but that didn't feel like it was as long. We could do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We'll do a quick one, hit or miss.
Do it.
So give me a chance then. So, Unearthly Child.
Right. It's a really hard one, this one, because the first part is a huge hit. Probably the best, like, singular episode of the Hartman era. But the rest of it is so dull that it may have to be a miss.
Mm. I'm going to give it a hit, just purely for the first one, because to me that makes it worthwhile.
First part's brilliant.
Yeah. The Daleks.
Hit, I'm going to say.
Hit for me.
It's too long, but...
Yeah. Edge of Destruction.
Hit, definitely.
Hit for me. Marco Polo, we don't know. Keys of Marinus.
Hit.
Yep, I'd say that's a hit. The Aztecs?
Hit.
Hit for me. The Sensorites?
Miss, I'd say, probably.
So, I again, it's too long, but I think the basic idea of it... to me, it's a hit, overall.
It starts off wonderfully, and then it goes in a weird direction.
Yeah. Reign of Terror?
Miss, definitely.
Big miss, that one. That was boring. Planet of Giants?
Miss.
I like Planet of Giants. It's a hit.
I like the first part.
Yeah. Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Hit, definitely.
Big hit. The Rescue.
Hit.
I can't remember.
You forget this every time. Yeah. It's Vicky's first one.
Oh, no, that's a hit. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I like that one. The Romans.
It's a miss.
Miss for me, that one. Red Planet, we talked about already. The Crusade, we haven't seen. The Space Museum.
I really like the first part. I find it's really creative and really interesting. And then it becomes really... dull.
Yeah.
I gave An Earthly Child a miss, so I've got to give that a miss.
Yeah, there is a miss for me, that one. The chase. That's quite a hard one, actually.
Oh, it's somewhere. It's like one of those ones that sort of could be either.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go for a miss.
Yeah.
Time Meddler, we've talked about Rays, a hit. Galaxy 4, we don't know. Mission to the Unknown. We did watch this, didn't we?
Sort of, yeah.
We watched the remake of it, essentially.
Hard to say. Because it doesn't feel like Doctor Who. It's something very different, isn't it?
It still gets a hit for me, that one. I enjoyed it.
I think it's a good predecessor to Dalek's Master Plan. I want to watch Dalek's Master Plan.
So the Myth Makers, we don't know. The Dalek's Master Plan, we don't know. Massacre of St. Bartholomew's Eve, we don't know. The Ark.
The Ark.
I can't remember this one.
I really like the idea of it. It's quite good. I might give it a hit. It's quite underrated.
I can't remember.
I changed my mind now, and An Earthly Child is a hit, I've decided. It's the one on the Ark with like the plague and the monoids.
When did we watch that? It was a long time.
Yeah.
I'm struggling
about
to
About 2 years ago.
I can't judge it, because I can't
remember. Continue.
Celestial Toymaker we've not seen. Gunfighters, I think we both said, is a miss.
Yeah.
Savages we've not seen. The War Machines.
I
like the War Machines. Smugglers we've not seen. And then finally, The Tenth Planet.
Hit.
Which is a hit, yeah. I mean, it's not without its issues, but it's... First, Cybermen, they look really creepy. Got to be a hit.
Cybermen are great, so, innit?
Actually, there's a lot of hits in there. There's a lot of hits, but when it's a miss, it feels like a real big smelly miss.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
It's not as bad as most of the era's misses.
Don't know. It is on the Gordon front, I think.
But I wouldn't say it's on a terrible front.
Well, yeah.
It's all very harmless. It's all like
with
good intentions.
It's the boring misses more than anything.
They're not terrible. They're not like really bad. They're not like really pungent misses.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So,
you better.
That wraps.
I feel like I've been really rude to you today.
You're always really rude to me. Oh, yeah. So,
I love him really.
And you did your fake laugh.
Okay, I can't make me actually laugh, and then I'll do a genuine one.
Well, that was a genuine one. So
was it though?
What was it? So let's move on from that. I think that pretty much wraps the show up.
Yep.
So, what have we got on next week's show?
Next week on episode 398, it's Christmas. So we are going to be reviewing The Snowman. I don't know what else we'll be doing.
No, we'll come up with something in the meantime.
Part of me thinks we should do Who to Face, just for the lols.
Could do, yeah. We could both try and do create a good concept for a Christmas episode. How about that? Who
good.
To face, but rather than being a randomizer one, which is what we used to do, where we'd get a random doctor and a random one, we both got to create a Christmas story for Jodie's doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, because Chibnall can't, so we're gonna.
Yeah.
And we can plan it beforehand if you want.
Well, that's true, yeah.
So that's. You don't have to. You can make it up if you want. But anyway, yeah, that's gonna be fun. How could people get in touch with us?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to do this bit.
Oh, yeah. Instagram at the Who Corner. Podomatic at Dr. Tom and Space. Tune in at Dr. Tom and Space. The Doctor Podcast Alliance at Dr. Tom and Space. And iTunes at Dr. Tom and Space. Thank you.
I'm just laughing at the fact that whenever it comes to the how can we contact you, you've got so bored of saying all these things, and now you just don't even bother speaking properly. So it's like you're completely irrelevant. So it's just like, so how can people get hold of us?
I've just got so bored of it.
It's
like a monotonous part of the show.
Yeah,
but please listen to us next week.
Yeah, please try and decipher that really undecipherable blur
please,
merged words.
Please listen to me being a twat again next week. Excuse my language. So next week, that's going to be our Christmas special. And that is on the 19th of December. That's going to drop for you. Thank you for tuning in. I've been Lewis Moon.
I've been Father Cool.
And we will see you next time, same time.
Same space.
Goodbye.
They call me the Doctor. I am a doctor.